Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network with your humble host, Tom Metzger, Table Tommy. This show originates and is being broadcasted live from the Bunker in Warsaw, Indiana. Right next door is Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern. It's a friendly little tavern where friends meet to drink and sometimes eat. Also nearby is Terrible Tommy's Weapons of Mass Destruction Used Equipment Yard, where you can purchase tanks, half tracks, or any other weapon of mass destruction for pennies on the dollar. If you like, Tommy invites you to visit his big website, resist.com, and spend some time up there and look around. You can read news and views, listen to archive radio shows, listings of items to buy, information on where to send you donations, and just a lot of good useful information. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy another show from the Insurgent Radio Network.
White Aryan Resistance Radio calling. White Aryan Resistance Radio calling. This is Terrible Tommy. Tom Metzger right here in the bunker on, let's see here. No, September. Almost said October. September the 2nd, 2014. Tears Day. Yeah. And it's a beautiful day. Well, no, it has been sort of overcast and cool, but that cool is okay. As long as it don't go much lower than it is. We were in the high 60s this morning. But it felt good. I like that. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. 46581. Thank you for getting your donations for September into the show early. We appreciate that. And also make damn sure that you print out your email address when you send me a note with your donation. Whenever you use the regular mail, make sure you make it very clear. Some of you sort of scribble your email. And all I go by is emails. That's it. And also, try to get your donations in by the 15th. When they start coming in later in the month, that confuses our bookkeeping process here. And we might cheat ourselves by giving you credit for the next month, thinking you're paying late this month for next month and all that kind of stuff. So that would help us out here, man. And also, don't forget that I screwed up on the webmaster's email. It's merchandiseresist@yahoo.com. And webmaster can help you out on a lot of the problems you may have that maybe I can't even help you with. Well, here we are again in the bunker, and we were waiting on Sling Blade. But since my schedule is all screwed up and looks like his too, you might have had to go on into work. So anyhow, we'll just continue this show here, running a little late in the day, but we'll get her done. How about that? And we'll deal with Sling Blade later. Hold on to your hat, boys and girls. This is an emergency. This is an emergency broadcast. Direct. It's coming direct to you from Eastern Ukraine. Oh, man. Headlines. Jew shot. There was a Jewish guy over there and got shot by supposedly the rebels. I guess he means the rebels that are... Wait a minute. Are these the Russian, pro-Russian rebels? I guess they are. And they're upset about it. They said that he was trying to defend his neighbors from being ripped off and robbed by these upstarts. So anyhow, there you go. But both sides have said it's just the way it goes, and really had nothing to do with him being a Jew. There's no particular animus on either side about Jews. So all you neo-Nazis who are running down there to Ukraine to accomplish something for the neo-Nazi cause, I guess this means that Jews are okay with you, huh? Okay. All right. If that's the way you want it, that's the way it's going to be. Well, I see that I'm not sure exactly when this happened or whether I'm a little behind time or what, but the ISIS nasty guys cut off another journalist's head, according to the information I've got here. Now, maybe I'm behind, but I hadn't heard that. So, call out the International Guard, man. drop a million tons of bombs on them. You know, that'll get even for two guys getting their heads cut off. And I see the rebels captured 43 UN peacekeepers at Israel-Syria border. That was yesterday, I believe. They don't look, I've got a picture here, they don't look much like peacekeepers to me. They look like a bunch of dorks, and they got themselves caught. Ha! Now here's a story for all you people that think China's got us by the ass. China's got problems, just like every other big empire. Empires always have major problems. KQ China, in this ancient oasis town in China's restive west, assault rifle-toting police officers patrol the cobblestone lanes of the okra brick houses in an ethnic Uyghur neighborhood. Three police surveillance cameras atop a white pole watch over the narrow dirt road frequented by mostly by cows. Wanted posters for suspected Uyghur, that's Uyghur, which is some kind of splinter Asian group, I guess, probably of a different religion, of course. Assailants are stuck on walls every few hundred feet, these wanted posters. China has blanketed parts of Xinjiang. That's as close a pronunciation as I could make. Home to Muslim, Turkic-speaking Uyghurs, with such heavy security that it resembles an occupied territory under martial law. Complete with armed troops, spiked barricades, checkpoints, even drones. But the massive security effort has not brought stability to Xinjiang, and neither has Beijing's strategy of pouring in economic investment. Oh, they're getting like the United States. Just put money into it, it'll go away. A few hundred people have died in ethnic racial violence in Xinjiang in two attacks in the Chinese cities elsewhere over the past 16 months. The Chinese leadership's latest attempt at the solution is an initiative to foster ethnic mingling. Sounds like the USA. Ethnic mingling between the Uyghurs and the country's Han Chinese majority. Well, that's going to go over like a turkey shit. Communist Party leader Jinping introduced the high-stakes campaign to integrate, or some say assimilate, Uyghurs with Chinese language schooling, more jobs, and greater mobility. Well, let's see here. I got to get more of this story. This is an interesting story, man. Because they're going to try the same thing they do in this country. They're going to throw all kinds of money at them, trying to get them to integrate, and then they'll be peaceful. What fools the mortals be. At least one country is even promoting intermarriage between the groups by dangling financial rewards. Isn't that just like USA? Quote, all ethnic groups must understand one another, have mutual tolerance. There, Morse D's must be over there. Appreciation. Learn from one another. Yeah, what pricks each side is. Help one another and embrace one another like seeds of a pomegranate. Unquote. Xi said at a high-level meeting. China is trying to bring the Uyghurs into the fold by encouraging them to leave their hometowns and mix with the Han Chinese communities, while pledging to share the rewards Beijing has reaped from riches of Xinjiang's oil and gas deposits, with more jobs and better infrastructure. You see, you always find religion, race, or goodies like oil at the heart of these situations. The strategy may include a reassessment of some of the policies that had favored ethnic minorities, such as limited exemptions to Chinese rules on how many children couples can have. So they're going to say, you Uyghurs, we're going to let you have more kids. Now that's going to piss off the Han Chinese. In a bid to reduce distinctions between the ethnicities, however, removing such exemptions will stoke controversy. Quote, the administration of Xi Jinping wants to make a bold and yet risky attempt to increase inter-ethnic racial mixing and mingling, unquote, said James Leibold of Australia's La Trobe University, who has studied Chinese ethnic policy for over a decade. Quote, its boldness in the sense that it would signal a major change in current ethnic policies, and risky in the sense that it could potentially exacerbate tensions between the Uyghurs and the Han majority of Chinese. Wow. That's going to explode. And what's going to happen if this ISIS idea starts marching east instead of west? They've already got a Muslim problem in China on the border. Many Uyghurs bristle under Beijing's heavy-handed restrictions on their religious life. See? Religion! And resent the influx of Han Chinese into their homeland, while the Hans often say Uyghurs are ungrateful for the government support. Sounds like the Mexicans and the here in the United States, doesn't it? In it never works. People want to mix, they're going to mix. If they don't want to mix, they're not going to mix. And most of the time, they don't want to mix. God damn it, will anybody ever get that through their head? That's why you have to have small little countries, yeah, where people can do their thing and not have enough money to build an atomic bomb. The two groups live in a separate districts with de facto segregation. The Han Chinese districts look like Chinese urban neighborhoods parachuted into the desert, with few signs of adopting local architectural or cultural styles. The two groups speak little or none of the other's language, but the Chinese government still wants them to start screwing each other. Quote, just don't go out at night if you're in the Uyghur neighborhood, unquote, said a middle-aged Han Chinese woman getting a bicycle tire fixed in the only Chinese repair shop in the mostly Uyghur streets of Aksu. It's not safe for those niggers out there. I mean these Uyghurs out there. Yeah. I almost got the wrong race there, didn't I? Aksu's Chinese schools are ringed with tall fences topped with razor wire. Whoa! Shoppers enter a pedestrian mall by weaving their way through two rows of spiked barricades. Troops with armored personnel carriers guard busy intersections frequented by the Han Chinese. In the county of Shaanxi in Kashgar Prefecture, police searched the area with drones in recent weeks, after the region saw its bloodiest unrest in 5 years, with nearly 100 people killed, more than half of them shot by the police. God damn police, there they go again. Just like Missouri. Uyghurs feel like they are living in an open-air prison, said Diksat Raksit, a spokesman for the Germany-based World Uyghur Congress? Wait a minute. Germany-based World Uyghur Congress? See how the things get all screwed up when everybody gets spread around like that? It's start dividing everybody up. I mean, actually adding them to the German population now. The Ingyars are into Germany. They have no dignity, no equality, and are at any time subject to discriminatory inspections and illegal detention, unquote. Well, that's exactly what the niggers are complaining about over here. It doesn't help that the voices of Ingyars in China are rarely heard. I never even knew they existed, to be perfectly honest, especially after the arrest of a well-known moderate Ingyar rights advocate in China, economist Ilham Tohti, who was charged with separatism. Oh, no! Oh, no! No! Ilham Tohti wants separatism. Well, he's a good man. Keep them separate. Keep them separate. Actually, I want the other way around. I want them to do this. I want them to pour billions of dollars into trying to mix them, because that's just going to cause warfare, secessionist warfare. And we're secessionists. We support secession. Ingyang police also bar attempts at independent reporting in the region. A team of three Associated Press reporters, now that there goes the neighborhood, on a recent trip were intercepted by the police, that's good, as soon as they landed at Qihe's airport, and then tailed around the clock, even in restaurants, hotels, and bathrooms, because the Chinese government, they know about the press. If you got a problem, and the press come running to the problem's going to explode, and it'll be 5 times, 10 times, 100 times bigger. The media, that's what the media do. They destabilize in their service of the ruling class. They destabilize, yeah. As the reporters were leaving a restaurant in Aksu, an Ingyar employee held up two fingers and pantomimed a scissors gesture as if cutting off his tongue. Some scholars fear the government's high-pressure tactics are feeding insurgent sentiment and might one day explode. Not in China. China's going to be the new empire. They're going to run everything, right? It's not about an outburst taking place right now, but the energy that is accumulating for an explosion in the future, said Wang Lixong, a Chinese scholar and minority rights activist who sees tensions in Ingyang as rapidly descending into a Palestinianization. Aha, in which there is mutual ethnic hatred between the groups. Oh, wow, man. There you go. All over the world it's happening. And you thought we were losing. It's separation is on the move all around the world. Well, that's my happy news from China. Yeah. And like I said, I got to look at the map. Because remember, in the old days, Muhammad and his boys, Islam, controlled all the way from Spain to China. Or was it India? I think it was India. So what's to stop them from doing it again now that we've left modern arms all over the Middle East, plus allowing Pakistan, India, and all these people to have atomic bombs? Well, once they get done marching west, I guess they're going to turn around and march east. There you go. I don't know whether you got the word, but Europe is about to blow sky high. And really, our press doesn't want you to know much about it, because we've got the same problem with all these different races and religions pouring into the United States, but they've been pouring into Europe for a long time. And the people in Europe are suddenly waking up to the fact of the danger they're facing, and they're scared shitless, they're mad, they're angry, and you're going to see a real turn probably to the right of politics in Europe to get them out, you know, reverse camp of the saints. So watch Europe. We may have another Adolf in there before it's over. Well, I hope he does a better job, because we don't want to destroy the village to save the village like they did, you know. We don't want to do that. But anyhow, watch the politics of Europe. It's moving fast. And that's good, because it's going to spread to this country too. And that's what I'm waiting for. Well, let's go on up here to Scotland. You know, their big vote for independence is coming up pretty soon. I'll take this out of context a little bit here. Similarly, the Yes campaign message is empowerment. Quote, "This is our moment. We can take matters into Scottish hands," unquote, said Alex Salmond, leader of the Scottish National Party, in the final televised debate with Alasdair Darling, spokesman for the Vote No side, on August 25th, sketching Britain's government actions opposed by large majorities in Scotland, from moves to privatize the National Health Service to building the Trident nuclear submarine. Salmond called for self-determination. Quote, "No one will run the affairs of this country better than the people who live and work here in Scotland." Well, I can almost tell you what the British are promising, all kinds of things to the Scotch to keep them in the pen. But I don't think it's going to work. But if it did happen to work and they'd voted down independence because the British are promising them all kinds of money and building ships and everything over there in Scotland and helping their economy, I think you'll see the Scottish National Party get a lot more teeth if they get turned down, and they may become a force to be reckoned with. I know here a few years ago the Scottish separatists were kicking their heels up a little bit. I forget the exact summation of what they were doing, but watch Scotland if they don't get their independence. And just for the hell of it, what would that mean to Ireland? I mean, you think Ireland might blow up again? Maybe not, as long as the corporations are moving in there and using Ireland as their headquarters so they can get out of taxes here in the United States, get out of paying the right kind of taxes. But if those corporations fail to go over there and fail to dump a lot of money into Ireland, and the Irish are looking across at the Scotch going for separation, I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. And it'll be quite interesting if they do get independence, the Scotch, what the City of London Bank, the Central Bank of London, will do to punish them. Because when you go against the big corporations, they punish you. And it'll be interesting to see how that works out. Boy, you can't keep that nitwit down over there in Israel. Now he's trying to grab a large swath of the occupied West Bank. I'm telling you, those Palestinians are going to have a postage stamp to live. The British government said on Monday it deplored an Israeli decision to appropriate a large swath of land inside occupied West Bank, saying that the move would seriously damage Israel's international reputation. What if reputation? Now, the British are caught between a shit and a sweat here, because they've got now so many Middle Easterners and Palestinians living in England that if they ever rise up, they could bring the government totally down. So London's going to have to at least play like it's pissed off with nitwit. To try to keep calm. But it's not going to work, because as this non-white subculture in Britain grows, it's going to get more demanding and so forth. Like so this is the way it always happens, you know. And I said England's through. Israel actually is through. It just doesn't know it yet. Anyhow, that's what I got to say about that. On Sunday, Israel announced the appropriation of land in the Etzion Jewish settlement block near Bethlehem, a move which an anti-settlement group said was the biggest such claim in 30 years. I love it. It's great. Well, I see Putin sort of putting a stick through the cage at Obama, he put a cartoon on, he put out a cartoon showing Obama with a fluffy little doggy and Putin with a cheetah. he's taunting Obama like mad. But this, unfortunately, is leading to another cold war. You know, no, not a cold winter. I know we're going to have a cold winter. Another cold war. And the only way things could work out is we have peace with Russia. There's not going to be a damn thing to gain. Make the same mistake that Hitler made. Keep screwing with the big bear. And you have problems, boys. These are not Arabs you're messing with. These are the Ruskies.
A man responsible for the 2009 shooting rampage at Fort Hood that resulted in the death of 13 people wants to become a citizen of the Islamic State group, the group formerly known as ISIS. Fox News obtained a letter written by the shooter, Nidal Hassan, addressed to ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, and the letter said, quote, "I formally and humbly request to be made a citizen of the Islamic State. It would be an honor for any believer to be an obedient citizen soldier to a people and its leader who don't compromise the religion of Almighty Allah to get along with the disbelievers." Well, according to Hassan's attorney, the letter was written in the last few weeks, and he told Fox News that it, quote, "underscores how much of his life, actions, and mental thought process are driven by religious zeal."
Well, that makes sense to me. I mean, the U.S. Army was so stupid to have this guy in the military as an officer, a fairly high-ranking guy, that the religious fanatic goes nuts and kills a whole bunch of white soldiers, and now he's doing what, obviously, he's being honest about. He wants to join up with the ISIS. He technically was with the ISIS before the ISIS even was invented. So what's the shock? He's a Muslim fanatic, and like millions of other Muslim fanatics, and they're going to do what they're going to do, like all religious fanatics do. And so you got to get those Christian fundamentalists gone, man. Get the guns out, because you're going to have a big war with the Islamics. Well, here's a CNN reporter that got her titty caught in a ringer for telling the truth. Let's see what she had to say. This was during the bombing of Gaza.
For HuffPost Live, I'm Logan Tittle. CNN reassigned one of its reporters covering the Gaza war over a controversial tweet. Diana Magne was reporting from a hill in southern Israel where a group of Israelis gathered to watch a ground invasion of the Gaza Strip. She claims the Israelis cheered during missile strikes.
Now, the sound that you are hearing here, we're on the top of a hill, and I think you can probably see there are lots of Israelis gathered around who are cheering when they see these kinds of Israeli strikes. And it is an astonishing, macabre, and an awful thing, really, to watch this display of fire in the air. But really, it is what is going on in the ground wolf that is significant.
Supposedly angered by the cheers and alleged threats made to her before and during her live shot, she called them scum in a tweet that quickly went viral. Some wondered if she was capable of reporting on Israel and Gaza objectively. Others speculated if CNN censored her account when the tweet was deleted. In a statement to the Huffington Post, a CNN spokeswoman said her tweet was an angry reaction to the events, and she, quote, "deeply regrets the language used, which was aimed directly at those who had been targeting our crew. She certainly meant no offense to anyone beyond that group." Magne was assigned to Moscow.
Well, you heard what the Jews were yelling and screaming and cheering. There wasn't any doubt of what went on. I mean, you know, come on, give me a break. So they didn't like. They just can't stand the truth. You know, isn't that funny how the truth is no defense? So now they've sent her to Moscow. Well, she'll be happier in Moscow anyhow. Who'd want to spend their waking hours working in Israel? Blah! Well, I see that an outfit called ACS Technologies, that's some type of a company that works with churches to get more people into the church and make disciples out of them. And so guess what I see on the screen? I see a green square going to their ad and says growing fast and making disciples. And right in the middle is our unequal symbol with a slash through the equal sign. How about that? Anyhow, they're doing the opposite. Want to teach churches how to get more disciples. In other words, more agents to spread the word. Yeah, but that's sort of a compliment that they're using our symbol. How about that? See what else we got here. I think the Pope and the Catholic Church are getting nervous. They're losing tremendous amounts of people. And let's see here. What I've got the story here. Did I lose it? Here it is. The Pope had a soccer match. Big-time players, Diego Maradona among them, came out to play a Pope-backed soccer match in Rome Monday night. The purposely interfaith teams who played for a children's charity were composed of Christians, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, and Hindus, said Maradona, who played for 90 minutes of the game. Today, two powers were brought together, the hand of God and that of the Pope. Francis is much more than a Maradona. He's a real outstanding star. I grew apart from the church because I thought it wasn't going enough to the needy, but with Francis, it's difficult. Well, evidently, they had a good time there, trying to corral them all into one thing, which will never work. Too much greed and competition. Well, we have some bad news for the Jews. For some of the Jews, anyhow. Let's see here. Where is it? Oh, man, this is something else. Lev Tahor, a sect that practices a very austere Judaism, left Canada earlier this year because Quebec school officials didn't like the fact that members weren't registering their kids for class. They hoped to find a more receptive home in the remote Guatemalan village of San Juan La Laguna. But it looks as if they've been driven out by local Guatemalans, who Lev Tahor told Reuters verbally abused them and threatened to cut off their electricity. Hebrew lesson for the day, Lev Heart Tahor Pure. And aside, if you search Twitter for Lev Tahor, your first result is not a Hasidic sect, but Ms. Lindsay Anderson's at Lev Tahor. Quote, cosmetologist who is absolutely and solely in love with Jesus Christ the Savior. That's strange. That's a strange kind of Orthodox Jews. They didn't like him in Guatemala. Get your Jewish ass out of here, man. Well, what's going on here? Two teenage girls are arrested for plotting a suicide bomb attack on the Great Synagogue of Lyon in France. What will be coming next? Well, we'll leave the religious news site after giving you this one barf bag full of information. Letter to the editor. Well done. Thanks for the news. As a born again in Christ, we have to let love come first in whatever we want to do. It is very sorrowful for what's going on in Iraq. Muslims killing Christians and newsmen just for fun. Don't they know we're all brothers and sisters? There you go. That's the word of the day. I'll bet you didn't know John McCain's becoming a neo-Nazi. I mean, come on. He's wanting to arm all these Ukrainians against the nasty Russians. Let's see what Johnny's got to say.
I've talked to people at the White House who say the last thing that region needs is more weapons. That's making the situation worse. You disagree. Why do you believe the introduction of U.S. weapons would make a difference on the ground in eastern Ukraine?
For God's sake, can't we help these people defend themselves? This is not an incursion. This is an invasion.
Is it a war? Has there been an act of war committed by Russia against Ukraine?
I think from a Ukrainian standpoint, you would say that. He's establishing a land bridge all the way to Crimea, and he may then threaten Moldova and the Baltics if he continues to succeed. When you say it's a quote war, it's a conflict that requires our participation, not through American ground troops, but our participation, our help, and our leadership. And that is what seems to be missing. Libya now is collapsed into a failed state. That is when what happens when you lead from behind. And we are now facing more crises in more parts of the world than at any time since the end of the Cold War.
There you go. That's our boy, Bomb 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 Iran. McCain, that stupid bastard. He's senile as hell. Go back to Arizona if anybody wants you. You never saw a war you didn't want to get into. Well, go on over there, man. Join up with them. And now the funny part about it is then they're yelling at him for being all these neo-Nazis over there. And so that puts John McCain in the same ballpark. Wow, man. That's something else. Wonder if we could get a picture with John McCain standing in a group of a bunch of neo-Nazis. Think that would help his career? Now, when they asked the Ukrainian government about the policy of supporting and using neo-Nazis in battle, Kiev's Anton Gershchenko was unrepentant, commenting, "The most important thing is their spirit and their desire to make Ukraine free and independent and part of the EU and part of the American corporations." Yeah. Very interesting. Very interesting.
In place of the defiant speeches, the somber strains of Beethoven now ring out over Independence Square. This revolution is moving into a new phase. But amidst the flowers and the children's tributes, flashes of something more sinister. Groups of armed men strut through the square with dubious iconography. That yellow armband is a Wolfsangel, a German symbol used by several SS divisions during the Second World War. Far-right graffiti is appearing, daubed on the walls of the city. The people who brought down the government were overwhelmingly ordinary Ukrainians, students and doctors, workers and even families, people who simply refused to back down. But the most organized and perhaps the most effective were a small number of far-right groups. When it came to confrontations with the police, it was often the nationalists who were the loudest and the most violent. A group calling itself the Right Sector is perhaps the largest. Its members can be seen marching around Kiev in columns of about a dozen. Mostly they carry baseball bats. Sometimes they carry guns. We met these men posing for pictures outside the burnt-out remains of what was once their headquarters. I asked them about their political beliefs.
Национал-социалистическая тематика иногда в некоторых людях она есть проступает, как бы, ну, чтобы была единая нация. Но не у всех это не заложено в основе этой организации, это у некоторых людей есть.
А у вас?
У меня лично есть.
В смысле? Объясните.
Ну, мне как бы нравится эта идея единой нации. Я хочу, чтобы нация была единая, чтобы один народ, одна страна, одна нация.
А это подразумевается что? Что? What about the East, I asked? What about Crimea, where many Ukrainians feel close historical ties to Russia?
Кому нравится Россия, пусть едут в Россию. Украина будет только для...
Police have largely disappeared from the streets of Kiev. Law and order is maintained by so-called self-defense groups. Not all hold extreme views. but those who do are often shy of the cameras. We got a late-night phone call from another group known as C-14, inviting us to meet their leader at their new base. It turned out to be the former headquarters of the Communist Party, now occupied by the far right.
It's our general mission to totally ruin chains that connect our country with the imperial power from the past.
And that being Russia?
Yes, and Russia, not only Russia, Soviet Union.
Are you a Nazi?
No, I don't think I'm a Nazi, I'm a Ukrainian nationalist.
And what does that mean?
The main confrontation is about that some ethnic groups have control many business structures, some economic, some political forces, and
which ethnic groups?
Russians and Jews and the Poles. It may be non-Ukrainian group control a huge percent of some economic or political power. And of course, in this situation, Ukrainian people have some tension between it, and it causes conflict.
Mr. Karas says his group consists of around 200 men. C-14 is affiliated with a political party called Svoboda, or Freedom, which now controls four ministries in the new government, including the Ministry of Defense. Two of its MPs were recently photographed brandishing well-known far-right numerology. 8-8 stands for the eighth letter of the alphabet, H-H, Heil Hitler.
We, as Svoboda, in no way espouse Nazism. In fact, we fight against Nazism. For us, Nazism and communism are two sides of the same coin. Those are both totalitarian ideologies which destroyed the Ukrainian nation in the 20th century and fought against Ukrainians and killed millions of Ukrainians.
The fervor of the revolution is beginning to fade now. People are starting to move on. But it's clear that it was the radical groups who kept up the pressure on Viktor Yanukovych, and many of them feel that this really is their victory. The question is, how much power will that give the far right in the new Ukraine? Ukrainian politics is in a state of flux. Different groups are jostling for position. Left-wing activists have also taken control of some government buildings, but it's the right that appears to be coming out on top.
When the fighting started, they started to attract more and more young people, and then not only young people, but all kinds of persons. Where they were marginal, regarded as marginal previously, now they are seen as being at the core of the protest, and therefore at the core of those who now have a popular legitimacy to make decisions.
With their anti-Russian rhetoric, events in Crimea will almost certainly play into the hands of the nationalists. No one knows exactly how strong they are in terms of numbers, but the influence of the far right in Ukraine is growing.
Well, it can be a little confusing. I know it gives a lot of excitement to some of the Hollywood Nazis, but this is a very bad mistake. All this stuff is a bad mistake, and there's seem like they're trying to set up the same kind of problems they had in World War II, putting everybody against each other. So, and what is this being so anti-Russian about? And these guys are fighting these so-called neo-Nazis from England and so forth that should be home in England fighting. These guys are fighting on the sides of the corporate structure and the EU and NATO. They're fighting for people who should be their worst enemies. So, it's crazy. But yet, anybody who is so-called National Socialist is going to be tarred the same way as these people are. Because, obviously, the key word is neo-Nazi. And when anybody calls somebody a neo-Nazi, that's it. There's no argument, no difference. And while the true National Socialists are going to be a lot more reserved and conservative and move slower, but this definitely doesn't help them. So we'll just call it National Aryanism or International Aryanism. But all this European nationalism that's getting involved in this is crap. And you can tell them I said so. Well, isn't this just peachy keen? Halliburton has agreed to pay $1.1 billion in settlement over its role in the 2010 Gulf of Mexico oil rig blowout that led to the United States' most disastrous oil spill, literally destroying a lot of the Gulf of Mexico. Well, as I said, when it happened, the United States government should nationalize BP, and anything Halliburton was doing too, nationalize it. To them, a $1.1 billion is peanuts. That's how these bankers do it too. They rip the country off for trillions, and then they pay back $1 billion in fines, and nobody goes to jail. There's not even any suggestion here that BP or Halliburton's officials go to jail. It's all bullshit, boys and girls. They should be nationalizing these outfits to teach them a lesson. That's right. That's what Tommy says. Now, you wait and see. They're supposed to distribute this money, but they're going to probably fight it in court yet. And the people, the fishing industry, and all those people down there, I'll probably be dead before their families get it, just like the Exxon Valdez thing, because the people up there in Alaska, where their livelihood was destroyed, have not been paid yet. They're still waiting on money. And Exxon's and BP's not going to give it to them. They're going to just wait them out till they die, and that's it. And that's what Halliburton will do. I mean, they'll give some chunks out just for the press, their kept press to talk about, but most of the money is not going to be distributed to the people who lost the most, and that was the middle class and the fishing families and all that kind of stuff. So, ain't it wonderful? Ain't it wonderful? Well, like I said before, on this latest journalist who lost his head, they beheaded him. And everybody's going crazy. Well, what about the hundreds of thousands of people who were bombed and murdered and firebombed and all that by U.S. forces and European forces? What do you think about that? Is that okay? Sure, it's okay. George Bush is a great hero. George Bush Jr. is one of the worst war criminals there has been. I mean, it's unbelievable how bad a war criminal he is, but he's not worrying about it. He's sitting down there drinking his scotch and painting pictures and things like that. So U.S. sheep want to get all excited about one guy got his head chopped off, but they don't give one care at all about hundreds of thousands of men, women, and children, plus our own troops that died in these crazy wars. Wow. Wow, man. Sounds to me like a cheap price to pay one guy's head for hundreds of thousands of people. Because these guys are fanatic enough that if they want to do something bad to the infrastructure of a country or anything else, they'll do it. And that's what scares the shit out of them, because these guys are not playing games. They're not playing games. They're Genghis Khan on the rough, man. Here comes Genghis Khan, man, with the heads hanging from his bridle bits. Well, that's about all I can take from the news today, boys and girls. I had to drive about 50 miles a day before I did the show. So, anyhow, I'll be talking to you tomorrow sometime. I don't know what time, because I got to make another trip tomorrow. So, you take care, 14-5, and just shut up and don't take sides in any of this crap, because it's all crap. It'll just cause you to have an ulcer. There's two sides of the story, and then there's our side. And my side says, frankly, Scarlett, or George Bush Jr., or whoever, or John McCain, I don't give a damn.
A bureaucrat woke woke up one day with nothing much to do. He tried to put his street clothes on but couldn't find his shoes. The night before he tied one on, now cobwebs filled his head. By afternoon he called in sick and then went back to bed. The next day he felt shaky, but he made it off to work and voted to increase his pay and take another perk. Although the people cried out loud and told him what to do, instead of trying to cut the cost, he increased revenue. Yippee-yi-yo!
Use your boat like a rope, hang 'em high.